Good morning, everyone. The thoughts I have prepared for this morning can be titled simply that blessed hope. As Richard just read for us in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 13, where Paul, talking to Titus, tells him there that we are to look for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And the context there having to deal with the salvation that is offered because of the grace that God has given to us through Jesus Christ. And so this morning we want to talk about that blessed hope. What is the hope of Christians, and in what do we hope? I know just from briefly looking at this, we come to the conclusion that the hope of the Christian has to do something with the grace and Jesus and the glorious appearing. But there's a lot to hope. It's found many times in our New Testaments. And it is a very powerful weapon that we as Christians can use against the wiles of the devil. The hope that we have of one day going to heaven and living with God for eternity. And so let's consider then that blessed hope, the hope of the Christian, and see that there are many aspects to hope. The first one we want to look at is the fact that hope is the anchor of our souls. And when we think about what an anchor is, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 18. An anchor is something that keeps us from swaying or moving around during a storm or during the rising or setting of the tides. And to the Christian, hope is an anchor of the soul. It keeps us steadfastly secured to Christ and to God and to the promises that he has delivered to us. As we read about in Hebrews chapter 6, starting in verse number 18, we know that these two immutable things, starting in verse number 17, is God's counsel and God's oath. By those two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. As the Christians, as we think about hope, then we realize that hope is the anchor of the soul. We have this hope that was given to us from God, and he gave us this hope by these two immutable things, his counsel and his oath. The fact that those who seek after him and follow him should not have to worry about destruction or death, but in fact eternal life. And it is that hope that we anchor our souls on. Hope is also the driving force or the purpose of our Christian lives. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 15, if you'll consider what Peter has to say there regarding giving an answer to those who ask us questions. The context more dealing with persecution, but Peter there says that as Christians, when someone asks us a reason for the hope that is in us, we ought to be able to give an answer. That hope, then, is what keeps us living the Christian life. The reason I am a Christian, the reason I do the things that I do and worship the way that I do and live the life that I live, is because I have a certain hope in me. That hope being an anchor of my soul, looking back to the promises of God that say that I can have eternal life. That is why I live the way that I live. That is why I do the things that I do. And so no matter who might ask the question, why do you do this or why do you live this way, I have an answer for the hope that I have. My hope is a blessed hope that is going to, in the end, save the soul. Hope is also that which keeps us living righteous lives. In 1 John chapter 3, the first three verses of this chapter, John is talking about the love that God has for us, the fact that he has called us sons, given to us these many great and wonderful blessings. John would say regarding hope in 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse number 1, he says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." So not only is hope what we anchor our souls upon, hope is the driving force behind why we do things, it is also what keeps us living righteous lives. Because we have this hope of seeing God in his glory and being made like God at the coming of Christ, being with him to live in eternity, we, through hope, live righteous lives. He says in verse number 3, because of this hope, we want to keep ourselves pure, even as Christ is pure. And purity comes in many different forms and fashions, but it can be easily and succinctly stated, keeping ourselves pure is by obeying him. When we are obedient to God and the commands found in the gospel, we are showing that we have a hope that we can rest ourselves in. That hope, of course, being the coming of eternal life and the promise of heaven. So hope is what keeps us living righteous lives. And this hope comes to us from the gospel. If we are to keep ourselves pure, even as Christ is pure, we need to know what Christ did to stay pure. And we know from many passages in the Bible that he as a son, for example, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 8, was obedient to everything that God commanded. That's why Christ was pure, because he did not sin. He was obedient. Therefore, my hope leads me to live a righteous life, obeying what God has commanded, and I learn that through the gospel. Consider what Paul has to say to the church at Colossae in Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse number 21, reading through verse number 23, about the hope that we have that comes from the gospel. Paul would tell us that at one time, he says, verse number 21, that we're sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. And so talking to a group of people who are at one time not Christians, which is everybody, actually. All of us here today fit this category. At one time, we were separated from God because of the things that we were doing. And we did not have this hope because we did not have the obedience found through the gospel. We learn that we are reconciled or brought back to God. We are unblameable and unreprovable by that reconciliation, verse number 22. If we do these certain things that our hope prompts us to do, verse number 23, if we continue in faith, if we are grounded and settled and don't move away, if we have these things and we stay rooted and grounded in the hope of the gospel, which if we go back to our context of Titus chapter 2 and verse number 13 through 15, that hope of the gospel is what we read there a moment ago, the fact that God is going to come back and redeem us for his own. If we keep that in mind in our Christian lives and have that hope that's found in the gospel, which we have heard through the preaching, verse number 23, Paul says that was preached to every creature under heaven. It's being preached here this morning and all around the world today. If we continue in that hope, then we have the promise of being unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. So hope does many things. And finally, we realize that hope, although it does all these many things, is just yet another gift that God has given to us. Look with me in Romans chapter 13, Romans chapter 15 and verse number 13. We know that our Father in heaven is a God of many things. He's a God of light. He is a God of love. He is the giving God from James chapter 2. He is the God of all these different attributes. And yet we also learn that he is the God of hope. God is the one who gave us this hope. Now consider what we talked about just briefly, that hope is the anchor of the soul, that we anchor in the promises of God. It's what keeps us living righteous lives for those who ask of us. It's what keeps us being pure, the hope that we have, being pure like Christ is pure. It's a hope brought through the gospel that makes us unblameable and unreprovable if we continue in it. Hope is yet another gift to us from God. In Romans chapter 15 and verse number 13, we learn that the God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. God is the God of hope. God realized when he created us that we were going to stumble and fall and fall short of his glory. And that is found from cover to cover in the Bible. And he realized that because of that, he had to do something about it because he loves us enough that he doesn't want any of us to perish. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. He wants all of us, every person, to come to the knowledge of the truth and to find repentance and to recover ourselves from the snare of the devil. And on we could go about what God wants for us as his children. And so God gives us hope in verse number 13 of what we just read. This hope in all joy and peace in believing. And again, we see the importance of abounding in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is what gave us the gospel. And so the God of hope will provide all these things for us if we continue to believe what we just read a moment ago, continue to live our lives through the gospel, live our lives in hope of what God has promised, this anchor of the soul that we have that keeps us living pure lives as Christ is pure. And so when we go back to our text and look then what Paul said to Titus, this is what it is that the Christian is looking for and what a Christian has if he is living right, that blessed hope. And the final hope that we have, of course, when we do the things that we just mentioned, that we just read about, is the appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. That is really the sum of hope. Hope is has many facets that we just looked at. But the bottom line of hope is, one day Christ is coming back to take me and you and all who are faithful to him back to heaven. That's why he came in verse number 14. That is the summary of the gospel. Jesus came to redeem us from the sin of this world, to purify himself, a special people. And that is what we rest our hope in. And so we think about what hope is. Now let's consider what our hope is focused on. It's focused on Christ. We know what hope is. We just spent a few minutes reading different aspects of hope. But what is the Christian hope really seated in? It's in Christ Jesus. According to the context, looking for him who is going to save us. That is the blessed hope of the Christian. But we learn more from other passages in the Bible. For example, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul is writing to Timothy here. He just plain says, Jesus Christ is our hope. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Christ is the hope of all Christians. That hope that is found in the gospel that teaches us that he came to this world to live a righteous life, so that in obedience to his will, we can be purified and made righteous just like he is righteous. Our hope is Christ Jesus, Paul would say. Our hope is the eternal life offered by Christ Jesus. In Titus chapter 1, these first two verses, we learn about our hope of eternal life. When Paul says again to Titus, he says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. And here we have some overlapping of what we've already talked about. For example, in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 through 19, the hope being the anchor of the soul that is rested in those two immutable things, God's counsel and God's oath, in which it is impossible for God to lie. Again, we are reconfirmed by God through the writing of the apostles that what God says he's going to do for us, we can hope in. There is no chance that a person who is doing the right things is going to be let down by God. He has given us a promise in which it is impossible for God to lie. So again, in verse number 1 of Titus chapter 1 and verse 1, we see another aspect that we've already looked at. The fact that these things come through faith and the gospel and the truth and all these various things. Hope is not just a random thing that we cling to, but it is based on the faith and the gospel and the promises and the commands that God has given to us. And that hope, according to this passage, is eternal life itself. If we just continue in the faith and do what is right, we have that hope that is built on a promise of which we know it's impossible for God to lie. This is a very powerful hope, a very powerful weapon, as we mentioned at the beginning of the sermon, against the wiles of the devil. When sin and temptation comes our way, we set ourselves on this hope, which is steadfast and sure, and we know that we have these things if we just cling on to it. And that would be the admonition of the Apostle Paul here to Titus. We also know that hope, not only is it eternal life itself, but it's also the salvation and the cleansing of the soul. For example, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you'll turn there to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and reading verse number 8, we are told to put on certain things to be righteous in God's eyes. And one of these things is hope. And hope, according to this passage, covers one of the most vital areas on the human body. Now, of course, There are several vital areas of the human body, like the heart, but what could be more vital than the head? And that is where we put our hope. Paul would say to the church in Thessalonica, he says, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love." Now we're covering some of our most vital organs with the breastplate of faith and love. "And for a helmet, the hope of salvation." How important is the Christian hope? Paul would say here in this context that it is of the most vital of importance. It is what protects the head, he would say, using this figurative example of arming ourselves and preparing for battle against the devil. The hope of my salvation is so very important. It's like the helmet that I put on my head in time of battle. Because salvation, that hope that we have, is what keeps us doing what we're doing, keeps us living right in God's eyes. It's so very important. Turn over to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Reading in verse number 5. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 5. Paul would say to the church here that seeing that we have heard of, he says, "Seeing I have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have towards all the saints," he goes on to say, "for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you have heard in the word of the truth of the gospel." The hope that is laid up for you in heaven, the promise of eternal life, it's so very important. And again, we learn about it through hearing the gospel. These things are so closely related. Because in Ephesians chapter 6, we have another suit of armor that we put on. The helmet, and the breastplate, and the things that we wear to prepare to fight against the devil, to quench his fiery darts. All of these things are so related. And they all rest on the Christian's most blessed hope. Hope is so very important. Not only in our physical lives. We all hope for certain things. We hope for this blessing. We hope for these circumstances to come together for the betterment of our lives. We hope the best for our children. Hope is what drives the Christian faith as well. The hope which is laid up for us in heaven, the hope of eternal life that keeps us living right, that hope that God himself gave to us, being the God of hope. It is what saves the Christian. In Romans chapter 8, consider what Paul says in Romans chapter 8, starting in verse number 24 about hope. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 24, he says plainly, "We are saved by hope. If we had no hope of eternal life based upon the gospel and the promises that God delivered us, why would any of us live the Christian life that we live? Because without the hope of those things, it is all pointless." That is why Paul says here plainly, "We are saved by hope." He would go on to say, "But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he hope for?" For example, I don't hope to have a little New Testament Bible because I already have it. Why would I hope for such a thing? We are hoping for something so much more than that. Verse 25, "But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." We have a hope. It's this promise of eternal life, the salvation of our souls, eternal life through Christ Jesus. And we, with patience, are going to wait for this and hold on to this hope, because that is what is going to save us in the end. Verse number 24. Our hope, then, is based upon Christ Jesus. It is the eternal life promised to us through the promises of God, the salvation of our souls, and it is what saves us. Christian hope is so very important to us. And to take it another step further, Christian hope is basically the sum of what Christ did for us. Now, in the previous two points, we've discussed briefly the fact that hope and the salvation comes through the gospel. And is the gospel not the explanation of what Christ did for us? For example, in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14 of our text, the fact, if you'll turn back there, Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, the fact that he gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all these bad things in this world, and make to himself a peculiar or special purchased people. We read about that also in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. That the Christians are a holy priesthood and a peculiar people. We are special and set apart for God's possession. This is the sum of what our hope is. It's what Christ did for us. He came to this earth to live a perfect and sinless life. He gave himself up on that cross, whereof we just made remembrance a moment ago in the feast that we had. He was buried and left in the grave for 3 days so that he might rise up, just like we rise up in newness of life upon our conversion, and have the hope and the promise of eternal life. God redeemed us and bought us back, verse number 14, so that we can have this hope, thereby giving this hope to us if we do our part. We must remember to do our part then, to have this hope. Not only then is hope an anchor of the soul. Hope is what keeps our the focus of our lives. It's what keeps us living pure lives, brought to us through the gospel, given to us by the God of hope. Not only is hope that, hope is eternal life brought to us by Jesus Christ. Hope is something that we can rest in if we do our part. Finally, let's just consider for a moment, what is our part in God's hope? We know that all these things have been readily granted and made available to all of us, and we can have this hope. What was the key to almost every passage that we looked at? If we continue in certain things, we have hope. It's just a big circle. We have hope of eternal life if we continue in the faith, and we continue in the faith because we hope to someday have eternal life. So God made a very powerful tool for us when he gave us hope and the promise of heaven. My obligation to this hope, verse number 15 of our context, these things, the end of verse 14 and 15, we are to be a people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. My part of this hope is to be admonished to do the good works that Christ has given, that God has given for us to do. These good works are multitude in nature. Giving of our means, living a right lives, telling others about the gospel, assembling with the saints for worship, being a good employee at work, being a good boss if you're the boss there at work. My part of the hope then is living a good and upright and moral life. Christian hope, so very important, given to us based upon the promises of God. But what do I have as a person without Christ? What hope is there left for me? Paul would tell us in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, if you'll turn there with me, Ephesians chapter 2, reading in verse number 12. What can I hope for without Christ? With him, I have an anchor for my soul. I have a driving force to keep me pure. I have the precious promises of eternal life and a glorious habitation with God in heaven. I have that which keeps me going through this life. What do I have without Christ? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12 would tell us, talking about those who aren't in Christ, those who are not part of his body, he says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And this verse is very good in summing up what we have without Christ. We are not part of his body. We are not part of his promises. And we have no hope. Without Christ, there is absolutely no hope. Are you a member of Christ's body this morning? Do you have the hope, the Christian hope, that anchors the soul and keeps us living right lives? If you have never been buried with Christ in baptism and become a Christian to rise up and walk in newness of life, you have no hope. Plain and simple. There is nothing for you outside of Christ. The sermon this morning, then, about the Christian hope, we want to encourage all of us to keep living right, because it is this hope that will get us to heaven. And if we're not Christians, why don't you make yourself one this morning by being obedient to the things that God has commanded, therefore, thereby making you eligible to have this hope, because without Christ, we are without hope in this world. We're going to sing a song at this time. If there is anything we can do, let us know what we can as we stand and sing.